Morning, church. You might be able to tell on that picture that I'm going to be talking about fellowship this morning. The Greek word koinonia, fellowship. We're fellowshipping one another just as the early Christians did in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, where it talks about that fellowship. We're sharing in this moment together. I appreciate the songs that Andrew led this morning. They were all older songs. But I want to tell you, some of these old songs, the words were so edifying and so touching. I need thee every hour. The older I get, the more I realize that. I need God every hour in my life. I love the song, There Is a God, that A.W. Dicus, who's a Christian, was a Christian, and he was a physicist up in northern Ohio, who wrote that song. A physicist, a scientist wrote that song, There Is a God. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him. Against that day, Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, Chapter 1 and verse 12, right before he died. Right before he was martyred. I know whom I have believed. And the older I get, the more I realize this world stinks. This world is not my home. And I'm looking for the place wherein dwelleth righteousness. It's not here in this earth very much. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And the sooner that you all realize that, the better your lives can be in Christ Jesus. But we sing these songs in this fellowship that we have, to encourage one another, to motivate one another. We're to stimulate one another to love and good works as we assemble. We are to teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:19. Singing, the purpose of singing is not entertainment. The purpose of singing is teaching and saying things that touch our hearts and inform our brains, our minds about the reality of life under God. Well, back to the picture. You see that little fellow there in the bib overalls? He was wanting to grow up to be a farmer and a preacher. That's me and my two sisters. We're in fellowship there, aren't we? And that's what we're in here this morning. And we're going to talk about the fellowship of the cross. I thought of R.L. Tolkien when I got the title for this. You know, the fellowship of the ring? You know that? Precious. You know, he was a believer, and he was instrumental in converting C.S. Lewis to Christianity. Do you know that? There at Oxford University, where they were professors. So we're talking about the fellowship of the cross is what we have here this morning. We were created for fellowship with God. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We have intelligence. We have emotions. And we have free will, and we have a spiritual nature because we're created in God's image. And we were created in that manner, in that way, because God wanted people who could choose to be in fellowship with him. Who could choose it. But as we read in Genesis as well, that fellowship with God was marred. It was spoiled by sin. In Genesis 3:8, after Adam and Eve committed their sin, it says they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. I want to hear that sound someday, don't you? But they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. I want to be in the presence of the Lord someday, don't you? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. This is not a story about eating the wrong fruit. There's a lot more to it than that. It's not just that. They disobeyed God in that act, yes. But when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you know what they did? They chose to not trust God. They knew God's word on the matter, but they chose not to trust God. When you're a Christian and you're living by the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're placing your trust in Jesus Christ. I want to hear what Jesus says about my marriage. I want to hear what Jesus says about the way I speak to other people. I want to hear what Jesus wants me to have in my mind, in my brain. I want that because I trust Him, because He is the Son of God who died for me to save me from my sins. They chose to not trust God. That's why their sin was so bad. And let me tell you this, they chose not to love God. Biblical love, agape love, is a love of commitment. They should have been committed to their Creator. He made me. I need to pay attention to what He says. But they said, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. Yes, they were tempted to do that by the serpent, by Satan. Yes, they were tempted. And they gave into that temptation that led them away from their love for God that they should have had. Let me tell you, you were created to love God. What did Jesus say was the greatest commandment? To love God with all your heart, mind, and soul? The greatest commandment? They blew it. They blew it in Eden. And paradise was lost to them. And the Bible story is the story about God working to restore that fellowship that was lost. The entire Bible, written over a period of 1,600 years by 40 different writers, authors, inspired of the Holy Spirit, of course, but 40 different authors. It demonstrates a remarkable unity. That's one of the most amazing things about the Bible. That's one of the evidences of the Bible's inspiration. It's unity. I mean, it's written over such a long period of time by so many people. You couldn't put 40 people in one room to write a book. They would fuss and complain, and somebody would go be storming out the door, and they have all kinds of problems. But the Bible is filled with all these books. How many books in the Bible? 66. Did you get that, GW? 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. All these books in the Bible, but they have this amazing unity showing God working in history to reveal Himself and to deal with the problem of sin in a just way and in a righteous way. That's what the Bible's about. God working to restore fellowship with His creation. In Galatians 4, Paul talks about God's timing to bring about this fellowship. But when the fullness of time came, that shows us that God was planning things throughout the Bible history. He was planning things. Specifically, He was planning the coming of His Son to die as a sacrifice for our sins. Paul says this, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that is the Old Testament law, so that He might redeem those who were under law. A law that condemned them as sinners. that we might receive the adoption as sons. Christians are adopted into God's family. What do you have family for? One big word that I've mentioned several times answers that, folks. What do we have family for? Fellowship. That's right. And that's what God wants. That's why He created us. Fellowship with God was made possible in Christ Jesus, the Son of God. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says this in chapter 5, "Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ." Reconcile pictures God bringing us into fellowship with Him. We were at odds with God because of our sins, but the forgiveness of sins makes it possible for us to be brought back into fellowship with God. God reconciled us to Himself through Christ. Notice that God took the big step towards us in providing the sacrifice for sin. God was in Christ Jesus doing what? Reconciling the world to Himself. What does John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, not counting their trespasses against them. God was not saying, "Now you guys straighten your lives out and then maybe we'll be reconciled with each other." That's not the way He did things. He provided the sacrifice to make that reconciliation, the restoration of fellowship possible. Not counting their trespasses against them. He made Him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus became the sin sacrifice that was foreshadowed by all those sacrifices of the Old Testament. And Jesus makes it possible for me to stand before God not as a sinner, not as an unrighteous person, but He makes it possible for me to stand before the Father righteous. That means not guilty, acquitted, forgiven. Fellowship with God was made possible in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said that He was the way to this fellowship, didn't He, in John 14. He told His apostles about how that He was going to heaven and preparing a place for them. And they're wanting to know, well, how do we get there? How do we get there? Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Me." The Bible shows God's plan for restoring fellowship. And Paul calls this the mystery. That's God's plan. Something that He was planning that people didn't know exactly what was going to happen. You know, it was a mystery. But He says, Paul says, it's now been made known in Christ. He is the fulfillment of that plan, of God's mystery. Paul describes the fulfilled plan which has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, and is written in here. Paul says, when you read what I wrote, you can understand what I understand about the mystery of Christ. He says this in Ephesians 3. It has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, to be specific. Now here is the ultimate fulfillment of that plan, right here. To be specific, this is the mystery fulfilled. Listen, to be specific. I like the way New American Standard puts that there. And it's in italics because they're trying to help you see this is what is inferred in the text. We're going to explain to you the mystery in its fulfillment. That Gentiles, that's people of all nations, that's you and me, are fellow heirs. We're all going to inherit. and fellow members of the body. You're here in this part of the body this morning, aren't you? And fellow partakers, fellow sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That word promise takes us all the way back to Genesis 12, doesn't it? That through Abraham's seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Look at that. Paul says, Gentiles, that's nations, our fellow heirs, fellow members, fellow partakers. That's the fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham 2000 BC. Do you see the word fellowship in verse 6? It's just packed in there, isn't it? It's packed in there. I should have highlighted the word partakers as well. And what we see is that paradise was lost back there, Genesis. But you know what? It has been restored. Because we have a promise of paradise in heaven, don't we? Through Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? You see how the beauty of how the Bible all is unified? Dealing with God's desire to bring us back into fellowship with Him. Those waiting on the table, please come forward. So in the Lord's Supper, we remember the sacrifice that was made to restore fellowship with God. We remember that God desired our fellowship so much, so compassionately, that He gave His only begotten Son. And that we come together, we fellowship each other this morning. Because of the fellowship we have with God. Is not this cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? There's the word fellowship and the word sharing. Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ?